Welcome back to Left, Right and Center. Our focus on the show now. A Canadian resident of China pleaded guilty in a New York federal court to stealing industrial secrets from a leading American electric car maker and then conspiring to sell them. Canadian and U.S. media have identified the company as Tesla. A Klaus Flugbeil, who also holds a German citizenship, pleaded guilty to conspiring to send trade secrets that belonged to the leading U.S.-based electric vehicle company, is what the U.S. attorney said in a statement. Now, Flugbeil also faces up to 10 years in prison for conspiring with a co-defendant, Yulong Shao, who remains at large, to sell these secrets, and he met with FBI agents who were posing as Long Island business people. This is how he was caught, according to the statement that has been released. After this came to light, the U.S. has vowed action on those endangering their national security. Well, to talk more about this entire case, we're now joined by Philip Ingram, MBE, intelligence and cybersecurity expert. Also with us, Xenia Behel, professor and journalist, Ohio, USA, with someone who's covered, information technology, and Dr. Pavan Dugal, chief executive, artificial intelligence law here in India. Thank you so much for joining us. And Pavan Dugal, first to you, this entire case, it involves the stealing of this technology, and the fact that it was done by two individuals. They set up a company in China and were then, reaching out to sell it to others. And by all, intentions, it does seem that this technology was technology belonging to Tesla.
Clearly, these kind of incidents are not just isolated incidents, but actually represent a new trend. We have to realize that we have already entered into the new cyber world order. In this new cyber world order, having access to the latest technologies is going to be a key component for countries to march forward in the technological progress. So that's why the theft of intellectual property rights of the latest technology is something that's increasingly being resorted to by various state and non-state actors, because nobody wants to wait. Nobody wants to go ahead and put their hard work and effort into this when they realize that the more easier way is to steal and then reverse engineer such kind of technical secrets. So now the U.S. has already said this is not just a case pertaining to theft of some trade secrets of a company. It actually endangers national security. And that's a bigger issue that I'm coming to, which is that these thefts of intellectual property rights of important companies are intrinsically related to the sovereignty, security, and integrity of countries. Now, in this case, this particular person has gone ahead and pleaded guilty, which means a minimum 10 years imprisonment. But then this is also a wake-up call for every stakeholder to realize what are the gaps which can potentially be loopholes, which can potentially be open and which need to be plugged up so that these kinds of thefts of intellectual property could be reduced or minimized in the coming times.
All right, Philip Ingram, I'd like your comments as well. The way this is being described, it's not just technology theft. As Pavan Dugal there said, this is a case of intellectual property theft, and something that the U.S. is saying is compromising them economically, and they're taking these steps to protect their companies. Also, what has been commented on is that when it comes to these cases of IP theft, this China hand is always being talked about.
Yes, well, the Chinese government are behind it, and therefore Chinese intelligence services are behind it. And whether it's stealing intellectual property from a technical basis from a company for economic advantage, or stealing secrets from a government, that is why there's a national security tick on this. And the other big issue is it's an economic issue. If Chinese companies aren't spending millions of dollars developing new technologies themselves, they can just steal the design and manufacture from the design that they've stolen, then they don't have to include that development cost and research cost in the end product that they sell out on the international stage. And that's why Chinese goods are very often technically almost as competent as goods from outside China, but sold at a significantly lower price because they've not had to pay for the development costs. This is something that's been going on for quite some time, And China is using it to get as much of an economic advantage for its companies. And it's the government that is backing all of this that's going on, as it is trying to gain additional technical secrets and everything else. It's no accident that many of the latest Chinese technologies look like exact copies of technologies that are produced in other countries.
That's right. And, this was a battery manufacturing technology that was taken, and this company was set up in China offering its business. They got caught because they were FBI agents posing as businessmen who got in touch with them. But, if you could, there's also, it's being said that this is being used and it's being sensationalized also to create a mindset against China. That is what, some experts are saying. Your comments on that, in this world of what geopolitics is currently and, the tensions between US and China. So that this case, because Tesla has not actually been said officially by the U.S., right? This is what everybody is surmising in the U.S. and Canadian media, that it's Tesla because that particular technology was only available with Tesla at the time.
Yeah, there is a degree of sensationalism behind everything whenever you're looking at it from different perspectives, because what companies are trying to do is create economic advantage or to protect their reputation. But the reality is, looking at it from my perspective, from the cold light of day, China has been doing this for a large number of years. It's no accident that there are large numbers of Chinese individuals working in, Chinese citizens working in technology companies, in biomedical research companies, in our academic institutes, in our research institutes and everything else. Article 7 of the Chinese National Intelligence Law requires every individual and every Chinese-based company to cooperate with Chinese intelligence if they're asked to do so, and a lot of them are asked to do so. This is not something that's unusual. It's not scare tactics. It's a reality, and the international community is just beginning to wake up to the extent to which the Chinese have got their tentacles throughout all of our different international institutions and companies, and are trying to close those doors and stop China having this unfair economic advantage.
All right, Xenia Behl, please come in here. And do you think that, this person, Claus Flugbeil, that he was, perhaps targeted and this is something that may be happening more and more, just like Philip Ingram described?
Yes, absolutely. It's, we see that happening. A lot of think tanks and even in the media, it's popularly believed that the Indo-US, or my apologies, the US-China relations are beyond salvation, right? At this point, there is an ever-increasing trade war between the two countries. And one specific trade war is pertaining to electric vehicles. Now, one thing I want to point out is not exactly related to the case, but between China and the U.S., in the U.S., only 12% of the market is dominated by electric vehicles, whereas in China, approximately 45% is. And Chinese automakers are aggressively wanting to enter the U.S. EV market, right, which is not dominated by Chinese vehicles currently. And China has determined how to efficiently produce EV vehicles, which are available, from one such automaker, Build Your Dreams, if you've heard of it, at a significantly lower cost as compared to, the cost of EV vehicles in the U.S. So China aggressively wants to enter the electronic vehicles market in the U.S. But due to this tariff imposed by the Biden administration, approximately about 25%, that it's prevented that from happening, right? And because China has been able to effectively streamline operations for production of these vehicles, of course, and a lot of these automakers are also provided subsidies by the Chinese government, which the U.S. has complained in the past has created unfair competition, right, between the two nations when it comes to electric vehicles and a lot of other goods and services. So, of course, these incidents will continue to rise, right, of propriety information theft. And in this case, specifically, it was theft of assembly line technology, right, making assembly line more efficient for EV vehicles.
Very crucial for Tesla, for their
battery organization.
Very crucial technology, yes.
assembly line specifically. It's for lithium batteries, yes, but assembly line technology, right? That's why Tesla acquired this Canadian organization or this Canadian company from which these two individuals stole the technology. So clearly, it calls into question why China is doing this, why they want to be the market leader potentially, right, in the electric vehicle space. And yes, absolutely. And I don't think that
they
are
necessarily being
targeted.
Do you feel this case is being sensationalized?
More investigation is needed.
And do you also feel this case is being somewhat sensationalized given the China involvement, given, the media's filling in a lot of the blanks? Officially no one has said Tesla, but we are assuming Tesla. And given the tensions between the U.S. and China, the way this story is being reported, do you think there's some, it's trying to feed into this anti-China sentiment?
Potentially, yes, but I do not think that it is sensationalized in a way. I think such stories need to be brought to light, right, given the unfair competition or given, right, the unfair advantage Chinese organizations are being given. I mean, they want to make the assembly line more efficient, right, for electronic vehicles, as I said, and they want to enter the U.S. market. So why not steal that technology and make products cheaper? Or make electronic
vehicles cheaper. Right, that's the point. Philip Ingram
was also making cheaper than what they cost the U.S. consumers.
Absolutely, and EV is the way to go. We know that everyone is, racing ahead, trying to, make it cheaper, perfect it. Pawan Dugal, what are the lessons for India here?
Well, the lessons for India are crystal clear. This is a wake-up call for countries like India. Why? Because though we have in place strong intellectual property rights, legislations. Yet, at the same time, we find that there is flagrant violation and often stealing of intellectual property rights, primarily because the existing law is not effectively enforced. So the first thing is that we will have to enforce our existing strong laws on IPR protection. Number two, companies and stakeholders need to be sensitized that their IPR is not just limited to their commercial interests, it has got an intrinsic connection with contributing to the growth of the Indian economy and the Indian nation at large. So therefore, we will have to start marrying these intellectual property rights protection issues with the sovereignty, security and integrity of India. And now that India has become the most populous nation in the world, that's the onus is even upon us to make sure that we come up with effective enforcements in terms of having adequate convictions and prosecutions. In our country, we are still able to get a lot of injunctions. But trying to get convictions in IPR matters is still very few and far between. And I think we need to work in that regard. We already have dedicated intellectual property core divisions in various high courts. I think we need to replicate that across the country. We need to create a culture of respect for intellectual property rights. Otherwise, if these kinds of intellectual property rights are going to be infringed upon, it could prejudicially impact India's march forward as an economic and as a technological superior superpower in the coming times.
All right. And final word, Philip Ingram, if you can, just your final comments on this entire case. And as we said, do you think this is, a one-off case, or this is something that this particular issue got highlighted, this person clause got caught, but there are many such cases that are ongoing and companies which I'm assuming are already, on their guard, need to be even more so on their guard?
This is definitely not a one-off case. And I think the main lesson that comes out of this is that companies, research establishments, academic institutes, anyone that's involved in technology or government needs to recognize that China will be trying to carry out espionage activities against them to gain some form of economic, business or political advantage. The Chinese threat is very real and we've ignored it for too many years.
All right. Well, thank you so much all for joining us on the program to talk about this case.